And you know how that generally goes with a judge, particularly in the first day of jury duty. So he cannot be here. And our vice chair, of course, Mayor de Kooninck, hails from Blythe. And I didn't give him enough of a heads up to have him drive all this way. So Joey de Kooninck will be running the meeting virtually with my assistance. And I see Joey using the gavel right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Mayor de Kooninck. And we're synchronized, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. I just appreciate you giving everybody filling me in. I would have been there if I had a little bit no more notice, but Tom didn't want me to get a ticket. So,
Thanks.
okay, so I'd like to call this meeting to order. Can we have roll call?
Yes. City of Rancho Mirage.
Here.
City of Desert Hot Springs.
Present.
City of Coachella. City of Palm Springs.
Here.
City of Indio.
Present.
29 Palms Band of Mission Indians. Torres Martinez Desert Cahuilla Indians. Cabazon Band of Cahuilla Indians. Agua Caliente Band of Cahuilla Indians. City of Indian Wells.
Here.
City of Cathedral City. City of Palm Desert.
Here.
City of La Quinta.
Present.
City of Blythe.
Over here.
County of Riverside. Chair, you have a quorum. Vice Chair, you have a quorum.
And okay. Thank you.
Mayor de Kooninck, the flag is just to your left. So if you look to your left, you could lead us in or have the Pledge of Allegiance started anyway here.
Well, Tom, I'm going to point you to take care of it for me. Thank
All
you.
All right. Then will you say with me, I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Is there any modifications on the agenda?
There are none.
Okay. At this time, I guess we could wait to have public comment on agenda items as they come up. Is that okay?
Yeah, this is the time for public comment on agenda items. Do we have any, Erica, Tony? We do not, so we can move on.
Okay, is there any, the chair really don't have anything. You said anything about manual and everything, so... And I apologize, I'm not there. The executive director have any comments?
Yeah, just a couple. Again, meeting logistics. Thank you, CVWD, for hosting us. And thank you for all of your patience going to one gate or another to get in here. Related to that, I think it'll be easier if we start the meeting a little earlier. So I'll confirm with our chair. But if we get started at 4 o'clock, we shouldn't have problems with the gates as long as everybody gets here. A little bit before 4 p.m. Additionally, I want to point out that our transportation grant going to Caltrans for a corridor-wide approach on the three major highway corridors in the Coachella Valley is funded. You'll see that on a future agenda. That's a $600,000 grant. It's not millions of dollars, but certainly hundreds of thousands of dollars that we didn't have. And welcome. And we are one of only three projects in District 8, which is San Bernardino County and Riverside County, to get money. Another one was the city of Coachella. The other was the San Bernardino County Transportation Authority. Another bit of news, CV Link related. We've been going around with each of the city managers and police chiefs to each section of CV Link that is almost constructed, has been constructed, will be done in short order. And it's looking great out there. And we're gonna show it off at some groundbreaking ceremonies in November. I think we've got those on all of your calendars. We're gonna do 6 over the course of 3 or 4 days. And as we go around with each of the city managers and police departments, we're also looking for ways to be smart about how we police CV Link. And one of the things we're going to give a shot at is using drones. A lot of your cities and even the sheriff's department are using drones for other purposes. We're working with police departments now to test out using drones in a couple of areas of CV Link. You'll hear more about that in the coming months. With that, CV Link got an innovative award from American Public Works Association, Coachella Valley Branch. Jonathan, were you there? Or Mark?
I think
Thank you for picking that up for us.
You know, and City of La Quinta also got a WPA award for the Dune Palms Bridge project. So
awesome.
That is collaboration.
Indeed it is. And that undercrossing under Dune Palm Bridge is really beautiful. Mm-hmm. With that, Mr. Acting Chair, I have no other announcements.
Okay, thank you. I guess we move on.
And I'll help you out, Mayor. You do have a comment from Mayor Harnick.
Thank you. We have the annual conference for CalCOG, California Council of Governments, coming up in Palm Desert on November 6th and 7th. And we will be sending out, and CalCOG has proven to be very effective in their advocacy in Sacramento for California in general. And certainly we have reaped many of the benefits. No, that was not a pun, but through the REAP funding and things like that, that they've done a great job with. They will be looking at what should their legislation or their legislative priorities be? Where do we need to put emphasis? Where do we need to be, where do we need to pay attention? And I just left that meeting about an hour ago. So there will be a survey that comes out. I'll share that with you. We want to make sure we are pushing where we need to push to make sure we have what we need in our region. So that's that.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor de Kunick, I don't see any other comments from executive committee members.
Okay, so thank you, Tom, for your comments, and thank Jan for yours. Okay, moving on to the consent calendar. Does anything need to be pulled?
Motion to accept the consent calendar from 7A to 7J.
Desert Hot Springs, second.
Motion by Indio, second by Desert Hot Springs, Mayor de Kunick.
Okay, anybody opposed?
None.
Everybody for it?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries then.
It unanimously carries. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to item. Okay. Nothing held over consent calendar. Number eight, action. Number A, rolling out of state trees for Southern California desert.
Paul Martinez. And I do want to note for the record that Nancy Ross, representing the City of Cathedral City, is here.
Two teeth and an implant short. Within a day.
Sounds like the line to a joke.
Isn't a joke.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair, members of the committee. This item relates to the rollout of the Shade for the California Deserts program that we are implementing in conjunction with the Imperial Irrigation District. This is a grant application that we submitted a couple years ago. You might have heard a presentation probably about a year ago or so, mainly because we were expecting to be here at this point a lot sooner, but the program got frozen for a little bit and has since got unfrozen, and so we got a notice to proceed, so we're very excited about this project. As mentioned, we've been working with IID and we have been on their Tree for All program. So this program builds on those efforts to make sure that people have access to shade and reap all the environmental and energy benefits that come with that. The Inflation Reduction Act, to provide you some context, provided a substantial amount of money that went out through formula grants and also competitive grants. We went for this particular grant program after the competitive component under the state's formula allocation, the CAL FIRE Urban and Community Forestry Program, to be specific. They got $5 billion went from U.S. Force nationwide. California got $30 million of that. And we applied for the highest amount, which was $3 million for a regional program approach, actually 2.97 to be exact. And so we're very proud that we were one of the few projects that got one of the largest awards with that. To give you some specifics on the trees, we are going to be planting 15-gallon trees, and 3,000 of them are going to be in public spaces and 3,000 in residential spaces. This is overall a 6,000-tree program. Half of those are going to be for the Coachella Valley region, and then half are going to be down for Imperial. So our portion of our half, the 3,000, 1,500 are going to be for public spaces and 15 for residential spaces. One of the great components of this program is it's going to implement a full planning service So residents don't have to plan it themselves. We're going to have a contractor to be selected through a competitive process that will go out there and plant the trees. And we'll have to make sure that they stay alive for 3 years per our grant requirements. We're going to use these tree diapers that are, I know a couple of you heard the presentation in ENS about this, but they retain water and help that tree stay alive. And there's also money for irrigation. So we need to lay some PVC pipe or some valves. There is a little bit of money to do that. Same thing with the public space component. We're going to be working and reaching out to all the cities as we move forward to make sure that we identify public space opportunities. So if there's new parks, things of that sort that you feel we need more trees, we're going to be working with your staff to identify those locations. We are going to be doing some outreach to get the word out on this program with Desert Recreation District and also with Alianza Quechua Valley. They're going to help with, the Alianza is going to help with the door-to-door knocking. We're going to focus on residential census tracts that are considered disadvantaged. This grant program was did have the county bio screen requirement to identify those priority target populations, so we would have to adhere to that. And just to give you a quick update on where we're at today, we are trying to take advantage of this fall planting season now that it's getting cooler. We front load as much of as we can for this program in the event that hopefully not it gets pulled. But we are going to be focused on what we think of as the low-hanging fruit, which is the Salton Sea, North Shore, Bombay Beach, and Mecca area. So we're just waiting for a couple contracts with the contractors to go through. Should that not happen, then we will delay it to the spring planting season. But as of today, we're still on track. And once we start in the East Valley and Mecca North Shore and that East part of the community, then the winter season will use as some planning time. That downtime will be used for planning what we're going to do in the spring. And at that point, we'll be developing an equitable tree distribution plan once we identify locations with all the cities. And the great thing about this, as I mentioned before, is that it extends outside IID's jurisdictional boundaries. So Desert Hot Springs, Palm Springs, Cathedral City will also be able to reap some of the benefits. And again, we'll be focused on prioritizing low-income disadvantaged census tracts and then finding other opportunities where we can see some benefits in planting these trees for the benefit of the Coachella Valley. As I mentioned, there's going to be money for irrigation. There is going to be some training for the community on how being good tree stewards and how do you take care for those trees. So we will be planning some community events in conjunction with Desert Rec and Alianza. And again, our goal is to keep, or requirement is to keep these trees alive for 3 years. Hopefully they'll live a lot longer than that. We're also going to be inventorying these trees. Cal Fire has our GIS program that they want us to pilot. And so we'll be utilizing that program to make sure we have a record of where those trees are located. And so we can track years from now, hopefully, whether they're alive or not. And we hope that this experience can position us well for future grant opportunities. Prop 4, for instance, the allocations were made to various state agencies and including urban community forestry programs. So we hope to use what we learned from this experience to go after additional dollars for our region. Again, happy to answer any questions regarding the program, but we expect to roll out here pretty soon.
If I could, it's Andy for Joey. So the tree program says you got a set amount of trees for different areas, obviously acidity and the soil, different irrigation and that. But this comes out to like $500 a tree for a 15-gallon tree. And I know you're doing a little bit of arbor care and the other stuff for 3 years. Who replaces it? Who makes sure they're maintained? And how do you keep track of trees in 6,000 different locations? And $500 for each, for 6,000 trees? I don't care what you plant. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. Trust me, I just bought some ficus myself at a local nursery. And I saw some of the prices at Moon Valley Nursery. It scared me off. But with all the back of the GIS inventory system, the planning, the irrigation, the kind of that's what it comes out to, the training, the community events, the outreach. But we're going to be in charge of making sure, again, that we keep these trees alive for 3 years. And then with GIS system, we're going to be able to track those for a longer period of time. So we're going to know where they're at. Obviously, there's going to be a need for some additional work past the grant period if we want to go back and take a look at which ones are still alive. But we'll have that data to reference where they're planted.
And so these will be shade trees. And then after 3 years, say it doesn't survive, we will replace it free of charge for these people? Before 3 years.
Before 3 years, yes. Yes, we do have a budget and contingency to replace.
Okay.
What kind of trees are the best shade trees in the desert?
It's a good question. I do not know.
What kind of trees are you going to plant?
So we're going to plant, Cal Fire has specified a list of trees, of native trees for this region. And some of those trees do overlap with the tree list that we have in CBAG's Urban Greening Guide. Not all of them, but we do have to adhere to Cal Fire's native tree palette for the desert region.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask a similar question. So we know in certain parts of the region, especially in the West Valley, due to the winds, certain trees are capable of growing in this region, but they're not capable of surviving in the West Valley because of the wind. So I'm assuming there's going to be an arborist that's hired.
Yeah, no, good question. We do, the planning company that we do hire for the grant has to have a certified arborist on staff. So we'll be using a certified professional to help us make those assessments.
And then when you locate a location, it's going to have some sort of irrigation close so you can tap in, correct?
Correct.
It can't just be an area of that we or CVAG would have to pay to bring irrigation in from a distance or anything.
Yeah, we have a line item in the budget for the grant to pay for irrigation. And we're hoping to leverage, at least with the public spaces and some of the parks, some of the irrigation that might be in place already by the city. So if it requires a PVC line extension, I think that's the simple part. If there's no irrigation there, then we would have to assess whether it's cost effective.
Yeah, so once you start with valves and all that other stuff, you can spend double what the tree actually costs to put it in. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah, well, and part of the concern I think that we all have to look at is the maintenance. As you look at mesquite and the maintenance to keep them groomed appropriately, in the wild, they grow one way. How we put them in our homes is quite another, and it's very costly. So we have to be careful of the types. And I'm sure you're aware of all of that. But what came to mind when you were talking about GIS, because Esri has a program that literally identifies hotspots. And when they see those hotspots, then they go in and they say, okay, that's where you need the trees because there is a heat island in that area. So Esri has something. I don't know if they've worked with the fire department so that maybe there's some sort of complementary GIS program. But that program does exist. And I think, do we have GIS with Esri?
We do. And we have used the heat maps that you're referring to in some of our grant applications, maybe even this one. I'm not sure.
We didn't specify this one, but we did see California put out a new heat map just recently.
Uh-huh.
And so that is on our radar, and we're going to use that to help guide us.
Okay, and we just got, some of us, I'm sure you did, Linda, and we just got an email today from Scott White, how Singapore became obsessed by shade. And I did send it over to you. I would imagine you got it. But of course, since I have no connectivity in here, all I got was a red exclamation mark. It did not go to you, but I'll send it when I can. But it is all about the one thing that I thought was what safe drinking water and clean air were to the 20th century, shade could be to the climate change 21st. So CBAG's on it, and that's great news. And I'll send that over to you.
So appreciate it, Mayor.
Yeah, question. Do either the businesses, depending on where these spots are identified for trees and or residences, are they signing any kind of permission slip or agreement to maintain? Are we accepting liability for all of these? Or what is that process so there's some accountability if we're providing this resource to them?
Yeah, as part of the education and outreach component, there is going to be a form that, you know, there's going to be an education piece where residents...
English and Spanish,
and they acknowledge that they're accepting a tree. They acknowledge that they're going to, they have to take this education course. It shows them how to care for it. So they have to sign off on that. And then they sign off as part of that, sign off that they're going to be responsible for the tree.
And trimming all that, if any damage, if it falls over and something happens to their neighbor or something right of way, it's on them, not us, per se.
Something happens to the neighbor, I'll take a look at the land exchange.
Well, they,
I, you know, it's like, because no good deed goes unpunished, right? All we need is 3,000 trees that something happens. And I would expect that we have a better expectation than just letting them live for 3 years at that price, right? So,
it would be good to send this over to visit Greater Palm Springs too, because this is such a point to them right now.
They're actually aware. They've made us aware that addressing heat is a big issue, and bringing tourism during the summer months is a big priority for them. So working with Davis Meyer.
Yep, wonderful. Okay, thank you.
And you'll certainly hear more, but sorry, Mayor, go ahead.
You said two different things, and you know, most of us have heard this before, so I apologize. I think I'm anesthetically flawed right now. But you have the diaper, and then you also have irrigation. Hello, explain to me the diaper system.
Diaper, there's material inside the diaper that absorbs water, and it leaches water slowly over a period of time. So you can.
What's that period of time? We live in the desert.
Yeah, it's a good
question.
Is it like
3 hours?
No, I have to get back to you on how long that takes. But it's supposed to help with the survivability of the tree.
And at the same time, have you already introduced irrigation? So you have a diaper and irrigation? Or do you expect the diaper to keep it alive for what period of time?
I don't know the period of time. I would have to get back to you.
Okay.
But we have...
There will always be irrigation. Let's put it that way. The diaper is supplemental
at the start to get it extra water.
It's inadequate, a diaper.
You mentioned you have a line item to cover that. How much is the line item?
I'd have to get back. I don't have that information in front of me. I can get that back to you.
And this was intended to give you all a heads up. IID is a lead on this. At the next Energy and Sustainability Committee meeting, we'll provide more details. And I know IID and Emmanuel will be reaching out to each of the cities and other agencies in the Coachella Valley to sign folks up for that public space trees. So there'll be more coming before your Energy and Sustainability Committee. Any other questions or comments for Emmanuel?
Yes, it's Joey and Blythe. Is this all the same variety of trees?
No, there are various types of species that are selected by CAL FIRE native to the Coachella Valley areas.
Okay. And you maybe need to look at the varieties, because some do better in clay ground, some do better in sandy ground. That's a key issue to when you're doing your thing. And just like the young lady talked about the diaper, that helps to establish the tree. Once it gets established, then it moves on. But the critical part about planting those trees, somebody has to be watching them almost every day for a few months. That's the key, because if you don't...
Joey, nobody's called me a young lady in 20 years.
Well, that's a compliment, okay?
I'll take it.
So I'm just saying there's a lot to growing things, but when you first plant them, the key to make them work, you have to be on top of it, especially with a transplant.
Right.
Is there any other information?
I do not see any other questions or comments at this stage. You'll hear more about this in the future.
Okay, so this is information only, correct?
It is.
Okay, moving on to item B, contract amendment with CV Link for phase two construction management. Mark.
Yeah, and it is CV Sync, our signal synchronization program.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Vice Chair and members of the Executive Committee. I'm Mark Lancaster. I'm the Assistant Director of Transportation for CVAG. Run basically in charge and helping the CV Sync phase two project through construction. I want to take you back in time when this project all started with CVC Phase 1, which was about in October of 2020. The Executive and Transportation Committee, the joint meeting, approved the contract construction, especially for the construction management aspect of the project. Construction manager, of course, is very important, making sure that all the contract specifications are followed, the contract requirements are met, and that the billing can be sent, in this case, to Caltrans and RCTC, so CVAG can get reimbursed for the costs.
So what's happening?
So back in October 19th, 2020, CVC Phase 1 construction management contract was awarded to TKE Engineering. You can see on the screen, Phase 1 included three corridors, Highway 111, Ramon Road, and Washington Street. That project was completed in about June of 2024 and has been operating ever since. Phase 2, when Phase 1 was all completed, Phase 2 was right on the heels of it. And so there was a desire to keep TKE Engineering for the construction management of Phase 2 due to their experience and knowledge of what was put in on Phase 1, the equipment and the familiarity with the contractor across town, Data Electrical and Data Incorporated. Phase 2 has another 19 corridors, four that were added to the three that were done in Phase 1, and brings a total up to 22 corridors in time. Okay, so when the project first began, this is CVC Phase 1, the contract awarded to TKE Engineering was about $3.62 million. In Phase 2, the initial part of Phase 2 was actually an amendment to the original contract, basically approved by the Executive Committee in June of 2022. And that amendment was about just short of $7.5 million. Back in April of this year, I came to you for the amendment number 2, which was about $2.1 million. There have been many things that have happened with the project. The project duration was intended to be 3 years. It's gone beyond that. And there have been other additive portions of the project, including Avenue 50 work, the Avenue 50 corridor that was added to the project to include the CVSync equipment, fiber optic lines, all the signal equipment that was added in as an alternative bid item when the contract was originally let. In addition, we've also added the connectivity to the Empire Polo Grounds, where, of course, the Coachella and Stagecoach music events are held. That was to allow for optimizing traffic flow before, during, and right after those concerts occur. So there's been other delays to the project that should make you aware of, including unmapped utilities that have been struck, working with the design engineer on getting changes made to the contract that the contractor recommended be done, and also the relocation of the Regional Traffic Management Center from Palm Desert to Corporate Yard for the City of Rancho Mirage. And that was just completed literally last couple of weeks. We're in there now. It's a really nice facility. And if anybody wants to come see it, I welcome that. So today I come to you with the request to authorize Executive Director to execute Amendment Number 3 with TKE Engineering. It's for $1.65 million. It should take us through to the end of construction, barring any unforeseen events that happen, and will bring the total contract amount for all three phases to about $14.8 million. We really want to complete this project. We're on the heels of it. Most of the construction work will be done by the end of this calendar year. We have testing and integration to make sure that everything functions as intended, and that should take us through to about June of next year. So part of the $1.65 million that's going to be forwarded today is to close out the phase one construction, as there was several overlaps and integration with phase two that needed to happen. The Regional Traffic Management Center support and staffing. This is for additional staffing that beyond what was anticipated with the original project. Again, mostly for the integration and to make sure the SIG system is functioning as designed. Requested project changes from the contractor, including changing out some equipment from phase one. These are mostly the video camera detection system into phase, make sure it's compatible and consistent with what was done in phase two. And then we also have some directed additional work to the contractor that needed to be inspected, make sure that it was all documented properly. So again, CVAG can be reimbursed by the funding agencies, Caltrans and RCTC. So the recommendation from staff is to authorize the executive director to execute amendment number 3 to the agreement with TK Engineering for an additional not to exceed amount of $1.65 million through September of 2026 for the construction management services related to CVC phase 2. That is my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Branch, I'm going to move to approve.
Got a second?
Wow. A question.
There's a question from the mayor.
Second.
All right. We have a second from Indian Wells, but we still have a question on the floor.
So we missed the boat somewhere between the April specs and what we're now asking for now. And some of the components, I know we always kind of come up with things that are unusual, but it looks like we had some ads in this. And I guess, you know, the question is, they've already done a ton of work out there. How do you miss fiber optic strands that surpass initial predictions when that's what they were doing the first round of the contracts? And how did we miss project closeout documentation from being part of the last phase? And how do we ensure that now we're at 14.8 million, that there won't be an amendment number 4 that comes back before this is done? Granted, we're spending a lot of money on this. I remember these bids vividly from the standpoint of there was one meeting that we approved a lot of money to do between CV Link, Sync, lots of things, design, build, and you know, TKE knows that better than anybody. Do we need to hone in on the ability for both sides to make sure it's covered, or it's just like, let's get it done? Because I just feel like this is post. And there might be something else down the road. So that's, you know, I'll support it. I just thought this one seemed a little sloppy. That's all.
Art?
Well, you're absolutely right. That is a lot of money to pay anybody to do this kind of work. $14.8 million is not taken lightly. When our April request, my direct question to TKE was, is this going to take us through the end of the project? At that time, this was prior to the moving of the Regional Traffic Management Center and, of course, the Golden Voice work. The answer was yes. Looking back, I should have been more scrutinous and looked at what they would be spending as a projection per month just to make sure what they were telling me was right. I neglected to do that. Now I'm confident that this will be the last amendment with TKE that will carry us through the end of the project.
And I don't say that because I hit multiple red lights on my way to the meeting.
Yes.
you are you with me, Glenn?
No.
And I know at some point it's gonna blend together. I look forward to seeing the new traffic control room at Thousand Palms.
It'll
be nice.
Joey, if I could. So this will get us through the point. What changed because you moved it to Rancho Mirage? Just the cost to move it there and then the add-ons. I mean, you move it to Rancho Mirage, move it to Rancho Mirage. I mean, same system, same cameras.
Same system, same cameras, not the same fiber optic connection.
Oh.
There's actually two fiber optic connections that have to be made, in this case, from Palm Desert out to Thousand Palms. The first one is a 1G line that kind of services the staff. The actual signal synchronization is actually a 10 gigabyte line, and that has to be installed through what's called a VPN tunnel. I barely understand what that means, but it's basically a connection between our old site and the new site. That took Frontier almost a month to put in when they initially told us it would be a week to 10 days. So even though it's the same equipment, you're right, nothing changed out on the in the intersections themselves. To get us there and actually move the server equipment that was already paid for and already very sensitive had to be done very carefully.
And that was moved into Ranch Mirage?
Yes, it's a Ranch Mirage corporate yard. It's the actual physical location.
You missed that? We missed
that. No, I've got that. I'm just trying to figure out how Ranch Mirage wouldn't have something like that. With all the money.
Isn't it in Thousand Paws?
Well, when you take a look at what we're going to be paying for Ranch Mirage soon to get them on board, yeah.
I just want to give it to
the physical location of their yard is actually in Thousand Paws.
Yes, I know. I didn't know what would change out of that, but that makes big sense.
I didn't understand this stuff. I'm kind of learning as I go through. I'm more of a.
And what are our ads? Is that our ads to 500,000?
I'm sorry.
On your 1.6 million to 500,000 was.
So there was several things. We wanted to switch out, first of all, changeable message signs. Okay. We wanted to also switch out some camera equipment again to make it compatible phase one with phase two. Okay. And it seems like just like your laptop computers or any computers you use, there are software upgrades that happen all the time. We have to integrate those with our sub-consultants or subcontractors to Crosstown to make sure that they all fit in and that they're all deployed to now over 550 intersections. Okay. And so that's a lot of things that we've got to rein in and make sure that are
550.
Done.
550, that's
okay. A lot of intersections. Thank you.
The questions about cost, we were disappointed that we'd have to come back to you this quickly. We're very concerned with TKE on some respects. On others, they didn't know, neither did we, about some of the changes that were being made. And for those of you, no conditions change. Granite work on Highway 111 in Washington cut our fiber line. And I give Granite a lot of, that Granite construction on 111 in Washington was awesome, actually, for the busiest intersection in second busiest to be down, but not affect people the way it could. And CV sync system really came in handy. We had our team in La Quinta City Hall. And so having the eyes out there now on not yet 550 intersections, but a couple hundred of them is actually saving our constituents, your constituents, time and money. So this is certainly expensive, and it is a very big, expensive project, but ultimately it'll save the region a lot of money. With that, you've got a motion and a second.
One more question. Chair. When is it going to be finished?
I'm sorry.
What date is the completion date?
Like I said, the physical construction will be done by the end of the year, barring any unforeseen calamities, but the actual integration and everything should be done by next June.
Yeah, and that's with respect to phase two.
Yes.
We still have phase three integration in Rancho Mirage, along with some minor signals in out years. If I had to guess, I'd say 5 years out.
5 years out, okay.
All right. Okay, we got a motion and a second.
You do have a motion and a second?
Can you say aye?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mayor Evans. I want to tell you, thank you for hosting us for a few weeks. Your facility was great and your staff was excellent.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on to item C.
Item C it is. We've got Jonathan Hoy here.
Honorable Chair, members of the committee, this item is an opportunity presented to us from the California State Transportation Agency, also known as CalSTA. They oversee Caltrans, DMV, Office of Traffic Safety, Highway Patrol, and the Secretary's office reached out to CVAG to let us know about a safety initiative that they've been working on. They partnered with Berkeley's Safe Transportation Research and Education Center to identify hotspots or safety corridors is what they call them, that have high accident fatalities and serious injuries throughout California. And a segment in Varner Road in the Coachella Valley ended up in the top five. And in this case, being in the top five is not a good thing. It means that there's a problem that needs to be addressed. And it just so happens that we've been working along this corridor as part of our CV Sync Phase 3 project and are evaluating the Varner Road I-10 bypass project. So we have an engineer in place that's been working on it. And so we let the state know that we'd be happy to collaborate with them. And so they shared with us their accident data, which in our analysis, we did identify that this being a hotspot for collisions, we didn't have all the detailed data that they packaged for us. In this corridor, essentially from Bob Hope down to just south of Monterey, there was about 17 accidents, three fatalities, multiple serious injury accidents. And in looking at the data, along with the county and the county's traffic engineer with Caltrans and our consultant, you know, there was a multitude of different violations or causes identified in the accident reports. There was three involving pedestrians. A majority of them happened at dusk or in the evening. There's lots of turning movement, right-of-way violations, heavy truck traffic in this area. And so we've been working with Caltrans in this state. We've had a few meetings. It's only been about 8 weeks since they notified us about this. And CalSTA notified Caltrans at the same time they notified us. So we're working together trying to scope out what the project is going to be. And so far, looking at this, we're looking at increasing the lighting, maybe putting in a raised median, looking at multiple driveways, upgrading some of the traffic signage, striping, some signal lights, multiple things. And with this project, what the state has said is that they are willing to help fund some of the work. So I think up to $13 million is a number that they threw out there. So we're working with them now to identify what the project is, to scope out these safety improvements. Right now, they're only going to pay for the money for the improvements or the safety countermeasures, is what they call them, within that segment, not the 22 miles, but just in the 1.5 miles. But certainly the study that we do could be then expanded along that whole Varner Row corridor with our project and certainly benefit. So the item for recommendation for you today is to authorize the executive director to make any necessary coordination with the state to expedite the project. We've been contacted multiple times from the state secretary's office. They want to do a press release. They want to move very quickly. So we'd like to authorize the executive director to enter into agreements and submit funding applications and work to get this project scoped out and funded. That completes my step.
I would like to move approval and make the statement that anytime the state says they want to move quickly and it's something as dire as this, I'm in. Second.
Yeah. Our road's tough. The tough road for sure.
So Mayor DeKunnick, you have a motion from Palm Desert and a second from La Quinta, if I heard correctly. And are there any other questions or comments from the committee?
Well, I got a motion. I mean, I've already got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Unanimously approved. Thank you.
Moving on to item D, CVAD link improvement connection.
Oh, thank you again. This next item is for CV link improvements connecting to the Avenue 44 bridge in India. CBAG's been working with Indio for over a decade. We have our first reimbursement agreement executed with them in 2014. And that bridge crosses over the Coachella Valley stormwater channel. And along the West Bank is also the CD link. So knowing that the bridge was gonna come into construction, we've been coordinating with them. And we stopped our work, both approaches, north and south of the Avenue 44 bridge, knowing that the bridge was going to come through. And in 2024, when we executed our amendment with Indio to update the prices for construction and so forth, we added in there in that amendment that Indio would build the portion of CV Link and CVAG would reimburse Indio, similar to what was done at Dune Palms. And so that was the original plan. However, as they've been working, Indio working with Ortiz Construction, who's the contractor, as they've been working with them to complete this work and they're timing it out where it was going to be done in November, they've identified that there's an issue with the two different environmental footprints of the projects. So because there's federal funding on the Avenue 44 bridge, that envelope doesn't go out as far into the yellow areas you see on that plan, which is about 400 feet, a little under 400 feet to the north and 200 feet to the south. So they're unable to actually add it to Ortiz's contract. So we're looking at alternatives. What do we do if Indio can't do it? CVAC could hire another contractor could do it. Or we have the environmental footprint within our approvals for CV Link. And our suggestion is to use Ortiz, who's already out there, and have CVAC contract directly with Ortiz to do this work at the same time or and sequence it in with the construction of the bridge. If it's done out of order, per se, if Avenue 44 finishes and then we go out to bid and hire another contractor, they'd have to tear up about 300 feet of slope protection that would have been installed on both ends to protect the bridge just to put it in again. So it would save us over $300,000 in just construction costs to do it all at once. So we've looked at the Ortiz's contract. They went out to a bid advertisement with Indio. There was eight bids. It was competitively bid. We're going to use they were recognized as lowest responsive bidder. We're going to use the same unit costs that they were given to City of Indio. We'll work with the construction team, our construction manager and their construction manager, do it all at once. So because we're trying to get this done in November, we're bringing you this authorization to a not to exceed number. We think the number is going to be coming in between 2 to 3 million for the work. But we don't want to be caught with an issue where we can't authorize some of the improvements to get us done before our next meeting in December. And we can come back with a report in December on how it's going and what work we've done. In particular, one of the variables is some of the safety features like CV Link fencing that we may want to extend along the undercrossing, and we're looking at that. We did that in Dune Palms, but we didn't necessarily have that called out at all of the projects. So there's enough money in this estimate to include that if we choose to put that in.
I do want to add, this did not go to the Transportation Committee because this concept evolved. And after a review with the City of Indio on the environmental clearance, that was made known to us after the last Transportation Committee. So I apologize to our incoming chair of the Transportation Committee, Jan Harnick. But for those of you that sat on transportation, you didn't hear this. And one reason for Jonathan's generally more detailed summary here, because it's never been heard before. With that, any questions about the approach?
So under the normal reimbursement agreement, they'd be fronting the money and we'd be reimbursing them under the normal process. So instead, because it's not qualifying from a construction, we're just fronting it.
We will contract. There's not
directly with them. So instead of us doing it, we'll contract with the same guy that was going to do it anyways. Just Indio can't do it because it's not in our footprint.
We'll pay Ortiz directly rather than Indio paying Ortiz and then asking us to reimburse them.
Yeah. So CBAG will be under contract with Ortiz.
Make the motion. Approve this item.
You have a motion from Indio.
I'll support my sister city, Indio.
A second from La Quinta.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I'm glad you guys got it all figured out.
Good. And we will save money with this approach. Thank you, Mayor Miller. Unanimously approved. Next item.
Item E.
Yes, so this next item is the designation of the 2026 STIP funds. The STIP fund, the STIP program is a five-year funding program that CTC puts out. Every 2 years, they add more money or release funds that can be programmed up to 5 years out. It gets that goes through a county share that's identified based on the sales taxable sales at RCTC. It's then divided amongst the different areas, the Western County, Coachella Valley, and Palo Verde. And then from what's available, it comes into STIP funding. There's about up to 5% in project management funds that's pulled off, and then the rest is for capital improvement. So every 2 years, we program the money that's available. So when we look at what's available this 2026, these are the percentages based on taxable sales within the Riverside County. One thing to note in Coachella Valley, and as Mayor Harnick mentioned, that transportation, every year we see this number decreasing. So the taxable sales in Coachella Valley is not keeping up with what's happening in Western Riverside County. Based on this, if you look at the formula, we have about $6 million to program for Coachella Valley. And normally these projects that we program, because the STIP is for funding years of 2029, 30 to 30, 31, it's some years out, that's when the money will be available. We usually look at larger projects. We put STIP money on Monroe Street. We've put it on CV Sync, CV Link, Jefferson. Those are some large regional projects that we've funded before. What we're looking at funding the $6 million is to complete the next phase of CV Sync. So as you heard earlier in detail, we've gone through these different phases of CV Sync. The last phase, or phase four, is Rancho Mirage, and we would like to program it for the phase in Rancho Mirage. By integrating Rancho Mirage into the CV Sync, we can see that it completes that the whole puzzle, so to speak. It will enhance the corridor time, coordination and performance and efficiencies. So that's the recommendation to the executive committee to program it for.
And this was unanimously approved by the transportation committee.
Happy to answer any questions.
The question, what did Rancho Mirage spend on their version of CV Sync when they opted to not participate with us and now we're coming in at the end? We know?
No, they had two phases of their synchronization project. They had some federal funding on the first phase that they put in now. It's 111, Ramon, I think another corridor. And so they couldn't participate on that because of the federal funding they had on it. This phase four are the remaining corridors. It doesn't include those first three that they've already constructed. So we're working on a way to get those first corridors they've already put to actually tie them in to our software and our synchronization system without having to replace all the equipment. So this will be for the remaining corridors, regional corridors in Rancho Mirage. So we haven't done any work on this so far. However, Rancho Mirage has done the design for this because they were proceeding to go forward and build this in a future phase of their own. So they have all the design pre-construction work done. They're finishing the environmental. So as we get through this, this would go towards construction only.
So as part of their CIP plan anyway, to continue their own phased process with their own.
Right now it's about a $13 million project. And so this would be about half of the cost for construction.
Is there any matching that goes along with this?
There would be matching once we get to that phase in the process. Right now, we're just asking for concurrence with the transportation that we allocate the $6 million towards the project. Unlike the rest of the cities, Rancho Mirage will have a financial contribution to building out the system within Rancho Mirage.
I think we did some of that with our public safety cameras in preparation for CV Sync, right? I think cities contribute where they can. What would this STIP funding be used for if it wasn't for this?
It could be used, for example, Jackson Interchange might be one. And that's one of the challenges with this funding is you have to plan ahead, and it really should be a big federal project. Monroe should be under construction.
Yeah, soon.
Jackson, as you'll hear in the next presentation, is a high priority with virtually no federal funding on it. $6 million would be a drop in the bucket, unfortunately, for Jackson Interchange. $6 million on this project's a substantial contribution to the cause.
So are we bumping another project for this one?
No.
Just based on timing?
Yeah, just based on timing and applicability.
And every 2 years, it could be adjusted. So in 2 years from now, depending on how much money's available, there's always opportunities to. We're parking the money there now with the intent to use it for Rancho Mirage.
Will TKE be doing this work too?
Rhetorical question, I'm sure. yeah, you're not
funding a particular contractor at this stage. That would come at a later stage.
We're just designating the funds.
Designating STIP funds.
And what do you think, Ted?
I think it's a go. I mean, I'm really pleased that we're able to, you know, coordinate this. And I'm so glad that Rancho Mirage had the facility available that we can now coordinate, you know, the CVC. So I think, it's a win-win for everyone.
It is, and particularly for the traveling public that don't particularly care what city they're going through at times. They just want to get from point A to point B.
For sure.
So let's see, Rancho Mirage, have a motion.
I'll be happy to make the motion to approve.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it, La Quinta.
Are you? Wow.
I know.
Rancho Mirage. That was nice when we
make it progress.
Mayor De Kunis? We've got a
Yes, I do.
We've got a motion from Rancho Mirage and a second from a sometimes reluctant La Quinta.
Yes.
Well, they all are right. So can I get everybody vote yes?
Aye.
Okay, anybody vote no?
Is anybody else ready?
Hearing and seeing none.
Motion
unanimously approved. Thank you.
You said miracles don't happen.
Mayor De Kunis, got a cash flow analysis, last action item and presentation from Jonathan Hoy now.
Says that. I'm going to be here all night.
Wait, what time does the gate get locked? Sorry, I'll shut up.
And Jonathan, since this has gone to transportation, why don't you go through this as quickly as you can? I know it's an important matter that I've asked for you to be reviewed. All right.
I'm just waiting on the PowerPoint to come up here. We brought cash flow. Thank you. We brought cash flow projections to this committee back about 5 years ago. Back then, we identified that there was some we would see challenges ahead, and at the time, we had the COVID pandemic and at the time when we presented this, the committee said, let's keep monitoring. Watch the cash flow. Let's look what's going to happen with the federal and the state, because it was a new administration. Maybe there's some funding available. And let's, in the meantime, get project shovel ready. So we did see the feds release a $1.2 trillion investment, and CVAG went after it. We were successful in securing second highest ranked ATP project in the state. We got $36 million for arts and music line. We ended up competing for the climate adaptation money. We got $50 million in Palm Springs for the Indian Canyon access project. We were tied number one in the state. We also worked with RCTC. Tom, our executive director, initiated talks with them to look at all of our funding agreements and was able to go back 5-10 years and identify $26.2 million in STBG funding that was due to the Coachella Valley, and also 14.1 in the local partnership program that was also due to Coachella Valley that hadn't been programmed here. And both those pots of money went to Monroe Street Interchange. And then another $50 million we identified of at-risk money that was CMAQ money. And knowing that the CTC was gonna change the way that's distributed, we were able to program $50 million on CVSync phase two. So we did what we could to help go after funding. But at the same time, you know, things change. You can see 2020, that's around COVID, and the increased construction costs just skyrocketed. And just to look at some of the example of that, not to pick on Indio, but Monroe Street, looking at cost share programs, just the way that these large projects work, the first thing we do is we take out the state and federal share. The local share is split based on a cost of share formula of 75-25. So we look at an example of how that was done on Monroe Street. When we figured the estimate back in 2020, we thought it was an $89 million project. And now it's around $175 million. And that's the same for projects throughout the board. I'm not just to show, it's not only Monroe, but it's all projects are seeing this across. It's about three times the amount that we expected to pay. And it's not just Indio. So what we have in place back in 2003, we developed a proportionate share policy where the local share, that 25% that we talked about, instead of, because there's regional benefits, there was a trip generation analysis done for all the interchanges that we're building at the time. And if you look at Jefferson Street, the last one, and we looked on where that traffic was going, and based on how that ended up, we shared the cost. So that 25% was then shared amongst all the cities that use Jefferson Street. Just to illustrate the point, because we haven't done the study for Monroe yet, but if we just use the proportionate shares for Jefferson Street and use that the gap in funding that we saw, and we applied it to all the cities, look at that last column, that's what some of the other cities would have to contribute just to get Monroe and put that local share. So we know that this is impacting all of us. And if we take a broader look at those other interchanges I just spoke to you about, at the time when those were constructed, we had 78% of that $235 million in outside funding. And if we look at the future planned interchanges, we have like 6% funded, and the rest is unfunded, which means that local share would have to be made up by us and the local and our member agencies. So when we look at updating that projection and just looking at the obligated projects that are in the budget or having a reimbursement agreement that's already executed with the city, includes Monroe Street, we see in another couple of years, we're going to have this deficit. We're going to have an issue with being able to build. So if we look at revenue and expenditures, which go into cash flow, we have our sales taxes as our regular funding that we get every year in Measure A from RCTC. It's $24 million. Our impact fees for TUMP for about $7 million. And our STIP, we just saw it was $6 million. But if you take a divide that by two, it comes out every 2 years, about $3 million a year. We've also talked in the past about the SBA 21, where there was gas tax money that went to the cities and the county and not CVAG. When that happened, those funding sources doubled, which made more money available to the cities and the county, not CVAG. But we all know, and you all know, but more than anyone, that that's still not enough money to take care of your roads and potholes and streets and everything. There's still a deficit. So what do we do now? We're looking at, as we did in the past, as different alternatives, you know, what can we do to make up for this? So taxes, prioritization, cost sharing, fees, you know, what things can we do? Some of the obvious things that I'm throwing out there just to make you think about and construct and consider. Back in the past, back in 2007, this is our current funding share, 75-25, but in 2007, it was 50-50. Splitting the cost of CVAG can't afford to fund more projects. Do we change the funding formula? Also, there's impact fees. Looking at revenue parts, back when we did this in 2007, 2018, when the new TUMF was developed, the TUMF was estimated around $8,400. CVAG decided to charge a portion of that, $2,840 per home for residents. And you compare that to the Western County, and it's a huge difference. It's about $15 per household. But even then, even if we were to raise the TUMF, and if you were to charge the $8,400 of what the total max was, it's only about $12 million a year. So that alone is not going to solve all of our problems, just a part of it. We can look at the revenue that we're getting out of sales tax. Do we add more sales tax? I know that the traffic relief plan, RCTC, is working on that, and they're going through some outreach. And considering a new tax for the whole county, it should Coachella Valley consider something to take care of Coachella Valley for its projects. On the expenditure side, we look at the way we normally fund projects from planning to design to right of way to construction. Normally, it was an agreement every phase. Maybe we change the way we're doing that. Maybe we fund everything pre-construction or everything just construction, and the agencies pay for everything pre-construction. Do we put a cap on any particular project, a spending limit where we can't go over, just to make sure that we can afford to contribute? Or do we just not fund interchanges anymore? These are just all things that, if we can't raise the revenue, things that we have to consider. So this is the recommendation today, is just to make you aware of the update and direct the executive director to further analyze this and bring this back to the committees for consideration.
And if I might just add, I heard Jonathan to go so fast that we didn't get that slideshow up on the Zoom link. So anybody listening, including our acting chair, didn't see the presentation. If you want to see it, reach out to CVAG staff and we'll certainly provide it, or even get provided on our webpage. With that, any questions for Jonathan or yours truly?
Figure it out, Tom.
Yeah.
Did you issue a meme coin for
exactly.
I think it would be helpful to have that sent out. I know, you know, Kathleen Patrick updates us on the RCTC all the time. And, you know, the challenge with the sales tax measure, Riverside Countywide, we're not getting our fair share now. And there's a sales tax that, how are we going to allocate what we need for control?
We actually are getting our fair share. We're getting it as it was originally allocated. It's what we generate here. We get that portion. But we now, compared to the other side of the past, they're generating more funds. They've got, you know, look at
it. Is it the same formula and the proposed, when they were proposing potentially a 1% sales tax increase, same formula going forward? Because that was where it was going to be redirected to CVAG.
Yes, just like it is currently. For all the money generated in the Coachella Valley would come back to the Coachella Valley, less a percent or two of administration costs. And the same goes with Blythe. Money generated in Blythe and the Palo Verde Valley is allocated to projects for the Palo Verde Valley. So that hasn't changed. And whether RCTC moves forward with a sales tax measure, my guess is they probably will not this year, but it might be a sales tax initiative put on the ballot by the private sector.
Looks like it's got to be a combination of things. So look forward to report back on
progress. Yeah, well, and you know, we do this every few years, and I was when we dusted this off from a few years ago, it was surprising how close we were in our forecast. What we did not forecast are the cost increases, and we're doing our best to bring everything to bear to get the next interchange, which is desperately needed, Monroe done. I have no idea how we would pay for Jackson Interchange when there's virtually no federal and state money for the project. It would just break the bank here for CVAG, City of Indio, and frankly, some of your agencies as well. So we'll keep on top of it. We may be proposing changes to policy. As Jonathan pointed out, this committee might have to make some hard choices. And we are updating our TUMF rates. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt that you're going to be faced with an increased proposal related to TUMF cost. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, comments? You don't need to take an action on this.
What was this reason back in 2007? That wasn't on council yet. From going to 50-50 to 75-25, you were just flush?
Yeah, there was before my time here too.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know why it went from 70. The item, even this item, has been discussed at our transportation committee. And when you look at it from an individual member agency, you'd say, well, 75-25 is better for us.
Sure.
Well, not if the next project is Jackson Interchange and there's no more money for any other project. So it's this balancing factor in it. I could try to dig up.
I don't know. I mean, just curious. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm making this up or I dreamt this, but didn't we raise the TUMP in the early 2000s, which made it easier for us to fund more at the CBAG level? I might be making this up. I don't know.
I don't know, but your recollection's better than mine on it. I'll dig into it.
Part of your analysis, great.
Yeah.
If we don't have any funding to do any interchanges, then it'll never get done. No city has that kind of liquid cash. I mean, we're having a hard time doing Indian Canyon that needs to get done. Same with ours. That means no interchange in the Coachella Valley would ever be redone.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's trash.
It is fact. Mayor DeKunik, I don't see any other questions or comments on this other than Tom, figure it out. We'll come back with proposed changes in the future.
Okay, you don't need no recommendation then.
We don't, really.
Okay. Okay, moving on to information, item 9.
Mayor, that's just for the members' information in the packet. You can move to the item 10.
I want to make sure Tom covered everything. I want to cut him those, slack. Okay, moving on to legislation.
You're a slacker, and he didn't think you covered everything.
I don't know number nine. You
had number nine. He knows I'm a slacker. All right, so information items, legislative items. Emmanuel, do we have anything there you want to report?
If you like, a brief.
Stand up and talk. We ain't going to get done without it.
I'll be very brief.
Given that it is the end of the legislative session, just occurred, the legislature recessed September 13th, and I just want to highlight two big issues that were before them. One of them relates to cap and trade, now called cap and invest. So there was a bill that reauthorized cap and trade for another 15 years to 2045, and that's important for us and for our member agencies, given our interest in affordable housing, sustainable communities, and other programs that are that cap and trade invested through the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. Your staff report does include the whole six-bill energy and climate package, including the cap and invest extension. It also details the allocations that were made. I do want to highlight that one of the big changes that was debated this year was the investment, continued investment in high-speed rail beginning fiscal year 26-27. That will get $1 billion. And there's other programs in the GGRF that are going to get a set amount. And then they'll be adjusted accordingly per auction proceed results. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. And also Prop 4, as you recall, voters passed Prop 4. The legislature did allocate funds for that towards the end of the session. So it was another policy that was getting negotiated behind closed doors, but the staff report does detail specific allocations under Prop 4. Some that I want to highlight is the money going to the new conservancy, the New Salt and Sea Conservancy, money to the Coachella Valley Mountains Conservancy as well, and also some allocations for urban and community greening that we care about and kind of touched on a little bit in our earlier staff report. With that being said, the governor also, we did also support SB 512. Just want to let you know, and that bill was those efforts also aligned with RCTC in supporting SB 512, which clarifies voter rights and their ability to also pass initiatives for sales tax measures. So it was more of a clarifying technical cleanup bill there. And so that bill is on the governor's desk. It was presented to him on the 22nd. It's awaiting his signature. The governor does have into October 12th to sign or veto bills. So we will be looking forward towards that deadline and report back on the outcomes of some of the policies that bills that we're following. So happy to answer any questions. The staff report details dollar amounts for your information.
Mayor DeKirk, I don't think we have any questions.
Okay, I guess we move on to public comment on agenda items, non-agenda items.
We have none.
We have none.
Okay, and then I guess our next meeting, we can adjourn. Our next meeting is not till December.
Yeah, and just to note, it will be at 4 p.m. And I appreciate everybody's patience on which gate is open, which gate is not. Thanks CBWD for providing any gate open and for the space. And I do want to thank our staff who have had to fill in for some sicknesses and trying to keep everything moving virtually and otherwise. And a special thanks to our virtual chair for doing a fantastic job of running a meeting as the only virtual.
Well done, Joey. Okay.
Well, did Emmanuel get out of the courtroom yet?
we don't know.
Dang.
Thank you, Joey.
Okay, well, thank you. But our next meeting is not till December then.
Exactly.
Okay, next meeting, Tober Taylor will be here.
All righty.
Okay, thank you, guys.